We go to the hotline. Joel Hammond is with us. Joel, how are you, my friend?
Andy, Matt, how are you? Thanks for having me.
We are lovely, my friend. And boy, the high school hoop season is red hot. Getting into conference play now as that really kicks into high gear. Last week, though, you were at the Lorain County Holiday Tournament. A lot of interesting matchups going on there. You had the pleasure of covering that Sandusky-Oberlin matchup. What were your major takeaways from that particular game?
Yeah, I think Oberlin will struggle against teams that, bigger schools. I think they struggle with depth. And so when Sandusky ran five, six, seven guys at him, including a couple really good young guards, they struggled. They went on a 10-0 run in the second quarter I think it was a 14-0 run to take a 10-point lead, led by six at the half. And then Sandusky just came out in the third quarter and blitzed them. And when Justin Smith and Devin Yarber aren't going well, they struggle because they got a couple of freshmen in the backcourt playing with them, and they play six guys, and they struggle when Yarber and Smith are not connecting, and that was the case in the second half on Friday at Lorain.
I had the opportunity to see Oberlin a couple of weeks ago when they were in Clearview taking on the Clippers, and that was a really interesting game for a while. As a matter of fact, Oberlin had the lead for a healthy chunk of it. Actually, they were up the entire first half. But that was because Graham Harrell caught fire. I mean, he couldn't miss from distance, but then they had a hard time keeping up with Clearview's press. And in the second half, the Clippers were able to come away with the win in a come-from-behind fashion. But I think Oberlin's an interesting team because you mentioned they are just so incredibly young. And, outside of Yarber and Smith, you're right, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot in the way of consistent scoring. But Devin Yarber's a heck of a lot of fun to watch. We always refer back to the game where he had that quadruple-double. Such a remarkable statistical accomplishment. You ever remember covering a kid at any level, whether it be in college or at the high school level, coming even remotely close to a quadruple-double?
Never. I'm trying to think back to some of the guys that I've covered in my time, paying close attention to Lorain County basketball, some of the best players out there, the Isaiah Waltons and the Bo Furcrons, and thinking back even further, the Adrian Caseys and the Chris Kimbros from Lorain and Ronnie Willoughby from Avon Lake and these types of players. Andy Lucian from North Olmsted. I know that's not Lorain County, but one of the more recent really good players kind of in our area. But I have a hard time thinking of a guy who can combine, the ability to grab enough rebounds, but also being a perimeter enough to steal the ball as much as that. I think it goes back to, Yarber kind of doing everything for Oberlin. He's on the interior, he's on the perimeter, guarding guards, and really, really fun player to watch. You're right.
Joel, another guy you talked about last week, as I had the opportunity to listen to the show. I was on the morning crew last week, but heard you talk about Max Jopic of Wellington, and you mentioned the Wellington Holiday Tournament was a chance for to kind of see what Wellington was made of. They hadn't won their own tournament since its inception, and they finally got the job done with a one-point victory over John Hay last Friday night. Max Jopic, absolutely outstanding in that tournament. Game one against Amherst had 33 points, had a double-double of 18 points, 10 rebounds in game two against John Hay. I guess I'll ask you, as far as Wellington, what'd you see from them? Are they a team that can compete and possibly win the Stars division there in the pack?
Well, we're going to find out. They're 6-2, I believe, and they've got Keystone, Columbia, Buckeye, and Fairview next up. So you're going to find out a lot about the Dukes right there. They gave Clearview all the Clippers could handle earlier. They lost by three, and Jopic is averaging 21-9, and he is one of the best players absolutely in the county. Now, does he have enough around him to get them through this stretch? Again, that's a tough stretch coming up. Fairview is much improved. They will compete for their division, for the Stripes division. Buckeye, of course, is always tough to beat. Keystone 6-2. And Columbia, Columbia's can be a tough team to play too. So Wellington will have its handful over the next couple weeks before schedule eases a little bit with Black River, Firelands, and Brookside. But we'll know a lot more about the Dukes in the next 2 weeks against those four teams, the Wildcats, the Raiders, the Bucks, and the Warriors.
We're talking high school hoops with Joel Hammond. And again, you can catch a lot of Joel's work in the Chronicle-Telegram. You've got some interesting things in the works that our listeners can read in tomorrow's paper. What kinds of things will you have in there tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have our usual top five stats and player of the week. We're going to recognize Tavon Pierre-Louis from Lorain for his winning of the MVP of the Lorain County Holiday Classic. I'll actually be at Maple Heights tomorrow night for the Titans and the Mustangs. You know, Maple Heights is 6-3, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you, they've given everybody on their schedule, which is extremely difficult, all they can handle. You know, they play the Cleveland Central Catholics of the world. They've played Brunswick. They've played Cleveland Heights already, and they've come out of that stretch 6-3, and they absolutely will give Lorain all the Titans can handle. So I'll be there tomorrow to check out Tavon Pierre-Louis and Devon Grant and the rest of the Titans. We've also got a chat with John Sally from Clearview. You know, Clearview is 6-0, and you talk about Wellington's schedule becoming more intense. Clearview is kind of the same way, guys. You know, they have not played a terribly difficult schedule so far, you know, with Black River, Lutheran West, Amherst on the schedule. They have beaten Wellington and Oberlin, so they have played those two teams and come out on top. But they've got Fairview, they've got Keystone, and then Bay and Lorain and Elyria, so with a few lesser opponents mixed in there. But they'll know more about themselves after this week against Fairview and Keystone also.
Boy, and they are a very fun team to watch. Boy, Clearview, again, the game I called a few days before Christmas, I was blown away by just how well they ran Coach Sally's system. You know, with that full court press, they're able to get a lot of points in transition as a result. Javon Todd is a name that always pops up when you talk about Clearview. He's a great player, but they had to do a lot of their damage without him in the first half because he got into foul trouble in that game. And they're pretty deep, so it'll be a lot of fun to see what that team does here over the next 6 weeks or so. Before we cut you loose, just kind of want to get your thoughts on what you've seen so far. Now that we're just about halfway through the season in most cases, or close to the halfway point for just about everybody, are there any things that really stand out to you, any players individually that stand out to you so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always interested in the Southwestern Conference race because we've got some good teams in there in Lorain County. You know, Avon Lake, and a few other ones, of course. And I'm always interested in that race. Midview, of course, North Ridgeville. So North Ridgeville is a team that I've put in our top five each week. You know, their schedule hasn't been terribly difficult either, and they've been, frankly, slightly unimpressive against some teams that they probably should beat a little bit more handily, like Parma, who I saw a few weeks ago against EC, in which is young and learning, but not all that good. So I'll be interested in the SWC race. You know, is Avon Lake a contender? They've been a little inconsistent. Avon finally is probably getting some rest after its football season, so what are they going to be up to? You know, Lakewood is really good. Actually, Avon Lake and North Ridgeville play tomorrow, so that'll be a good matchup and probably a good barometer for where each of those teams are. So, again, I always like to pay attention to that race. It's fun, Bray Midpark, and I think Midview has a chance, and Lakewood has played well. So I'll have my eyes on that race. And then, you know, think about players. I mean, the performances by some of these players in our area are just unbelievable. You know, you think about Trey Brooks, who averages nearly a double-double from open door. You've got Jopic and some of the stats that the EC guys like Dorian Crutcher and those guys have put up. MJ Smith from North Ridgeville is averaging over 22 a game. So be interested to see where these guys continue to go. You know, I have a feeling some of these statistical averages will come down once you get into conference play and things tighten up a little bit. But we'll certainly be an interesting 6 or 8 weeks as we figure out more of these teams. And, of course, I'll be have my eyes on the whole way.
And we will have our eyes on tomorrow's edition of the Chronicle Telegram to see all of your fine work, your conversation with Coach Sally, and much, much more. Joel, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Stay warm out there, as difficult as that might be these days, but always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same to you, Andy and Matt. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. That's Joel Hammond. And again, you can catch Joel's work tomorrow in the Chronicle Telegram. His conversation with Coach Sally, their players of the week, their top five on the boys and girls side as well.